Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
All right, we are ready to start into chapter 2 of Paul's first epistle to Timothy. And we're going to learn immediately about the priority of prayer, how important this is in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chapter begins as follows. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Well, I read the first 8 verses so that you can understand that the primary subject here is prayer, though there are a lot of interesting other matters that are mentioned in the course of these 8 verses, and we'll have to take them up one by one as we get to them. But I want, first of all, for us to understand how that prayer is such a significant priority, and that's indicated by these words, first of all. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And Paul is saying this is his first exhortation. He's got a lot of things to say, but this is his first exhortation. Now, we scratch our heads at first with that phrase because we realize we have just started into chapter 2, not chapter 1. And in chapter 1, there were a number of exhortations. So this is not the first thing that Paul writes in his epistle, but it must be the first of something, and we've got to figure that out. Because in chapter 1, Paul basically opened by instructing Timothy to correct unsound teachers, whoever they may be, in the church at Ephesus, that's verses 3 through 7, and later in that chapter, to exclude those unsound teachers who were uncorrectable, namely Hymenaeus and Alexander, that's in verses 18 through 20. And in between, he taught him of the importance of preaching and teaching sound doctrine, verses 8 through 11. And then verses 12 through 17 are something of a parenthesis where Paul breaks into thanksgiving for his own salvation. So we realize that the foundation of this epistle is sound doctrine. Sound doctrine which must be taught, sound doctrine which must be defended, sound doctrine which must be enforced by removing those who will not adhere to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, really, was the first priority, the first exhortation. But I take it by the language here that Paul considers all of chapter 1 in a sense to be introductory. Of course, sound doctrine has to be the foundation. That's understood. That should be understood even without stating it, but Paul does state it because it is so important. And he assumes that Timothy will understand that the foundation of the church in Ephesus, the foundation of Timothy's ministry, as was the foundation of Paul's ministry, was sound doctrine, the careful and and clear and accurate teaching of God's Word, communicating the faith, communicating the revealed truth of God, as it has been given to Christ, or through Christ, I should say, and to the apostles, and from the apostles to the churches. But having now laid, or maybe we should say relayed, laid again, that doctrinal foundation, Paul now is going to give instructions, we might say, for the proper operation of the church at Corinth. That's what Timothy is there to do, is to get this church operating properly again. We assume that once it did, something has disrupted it. So Timothy, you've got to go back and, in a sense, almost start all over in teaching this church how they are to operate. And we're talking about the proper operation of the local church. We're all familiar, no doubt, with the fact that in chapter 3, Paul takes up nearly the entire chapter giving qualifications for the selection of pastors and deacons. Well, that certainly has to do with the proper operation of the local church. Chapter 4, he goes back to this matter of sound doctrine again, but in chapter 5, it's just filled with practical exhortations as to how to care for widows, how to deal with pastors, how to care for pastors, how to discipline them, and so forth and so on, how to honor elders and to deal with them properly. And in chapter 6, the final chapter, you have a lot of practical instructions for how the members of the church are to relate to one another and to their community. So, from chapters 2 through 6, you're going to have practical instructions for churches, both the operation of the church itself and the extension of the church into the community. Practical instructions for churches. And with that in mind, the first priority is prayer. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The first instruction in this category, a practical instructions for local churches, is prayer. First, before instructions regarding the proper role of women in the church, which takes up the last part of chapter 2. First, before the qualifications for selection of pastors in the churches, chapter 3, or deacons in the churches, chapter 3, or additional instructions concerning false teachers, chapter 4. Or more instructions about the proper exercise of pastoral ministry, chapter 4. Or social regulations and regulations for benevolence in the church, chapter 5. And regulations relating to elders, chapter 5. And miscellaneous instructions, chapters 5 and 6. But before all of that, instructions for prayer. How to pray. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. How to pray, specifically, supplications. That's a word that means petitionary prayer. Definite needs. Sometimes we have prayer lists, lists of requests. Those are supplications. That's not wrong to have prayer lists. These are humble requests that one makes in the light of this or that concrete situation, in which God alone can furnish the help that is needed. So, how to pray? Number one, pray specifically. Number two, pray worshipfully. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers. Now, here's another word. Supplication is one word, prayers is another word. And it's a Greek word that is a little more general in meaning. Supplication is quite specific. It has to do with listing of definite needs. The word prayer is more general. It's a word that means every form of reverent address directed to God. It would include confession. It would include intercession. It would include supplication. It would include adoration. It would include thanksgiving. It really is a word that probably includes all the other words that he uses. And all of these things are praying. And the idea is, make sure that all of these things, your supplications, your intercessions, your giving of thanks, make sure that all of these are done in a reverent manner, in a reverent address to God. So, how do we pray? Number one, specifically. Number two, worshipfully or reverently. Number three, unselfishly. The third item is intercessions. And that's a word that has to do with making petitions on behalf of others. Intercessions. It means to draw near to God, to be able to converse with Him in a familiar manner that only properly can be done by true children of God who have a father-son relationship with Him. It means drawing into the audience chamber of God and availing yourself of a very important and sacred privilege, having a sacred interview with God Himself in the interests of others. A confident interview in the interest of others. Intercessions, pleading with God on behalf of others. Christ intercedes for us. When Christ intercedes with the Father, He intercedes on behalf of His children. He's not praying for Himself, He's praying for us. He is our intercessor. How thankful we are that we have such an intercessor. But we too have the privilege and responsibility of intercession, and we are never praying more powerfully and in a more God-honoring way than when we are interceding on behalf of others. And that's clear from the context. I exhort, first of all, the supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life and godliness and reverence, interceding on behalf of others, praying for kings, praying for other governmental officials who have authority over our lives and our well-being, the circumstances of our lives in our community. Pray for them that we might be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life before others in this world. Pray for all men, all kinds of men, not just kings and those in authority, but for other people, and that's the idea of intercession. And so we pray specifically, we pray worshipfully, we pray unselfishly, and we pray, number four, thankfully, because the fourth word is giving of thanks, thanksgiving. And that, of course, is the expression of gratitude. That's how we should pray. Prayer is a serious endeavor. It's a significant priority. The instruction for prayer comes first before all these other matters in how the church is to function within itself, among its own members, and in the community where God has placed it. And the first priority is prayer, and we are to pray in this way. How important it is to God, may it be equally important to us. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.